Truly understanding your identity is a deeply personal story, and discovering who you are starts with knowing where you came from. This principle applies to us as individuals as well as collectively. Though it's popular to question the existence of a historic Adam and Eve, did they truly exist? Were they merely archetypes? The truth is, much of our uniqueness as humans only makes sense in the light of the Genesis account of creation. These questions and more are explored at length in a free download I believe you'll enjoy called Don't Dismiss Adam, Eve and the Genesis Story. It's more relevant today than ever. Discover even more about who you are when you go to premierinsight.org/resources and download this important resource. That's premierinsight.org/resources. I encourage you to do it today.
Hello friends, I'm Rick Warren, and welcome to Spurgeon Sermons. This is the official podcast brought to you by Premier and Spurgeon's College. You know, the teachings of Charles Spurgeon have had a personal impact on my life in a profound way, and I'm confident they'll do the same for you. So get ready to be challenged, equipped, and guided by Charles Spurgeon, who is universally regarded as the greatest English preacher in the history of the church.
The Heroic in Christianity, a sermon by Charles Spurgeon, Part 4. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners, to receive as much again. Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 32 to 34. Read Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verses 54 and 55, and you will see that the Christian is to rise above human passion in the matter of gentleness. James and John, when Christ was not received by the Samaritan villagers, said, "Wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But Jesus rebuked them and said, "Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of." And they went to another village. A Christian should be ready to give way. He should be quiet, peaceable, gentle. If in trying to do good, he wishes to bless certain people, and they refuse to hear him, let him not grow indignant and denounce the offenders, but let him change the scene and carry his message to those who perhaps are hungering for it. He may go round again very shortly to those who repulsed him and find them in a better mind. Be gentle, brother. Soft words are hard to answer. They refused you at first, try them again. At any rate, be not provoked, for then they will have conquered you. Christians ought to be the gentlest beings under heaven. They are sent forth as lambs among wolves, and they are called to be harmless as doves. Such meekness will astonish and amaze their adversaries, and crown the religion of Jesus with honour. In the elevation of his or her joy, the Christian is also to rise above all other people. He or she may rejoice as they do in the common bounties of providence, but that joy is to hold very secondary rank. Even in their own success as a Christian worker, they take but measured satisfaction. Read Luke chapter 10, verse 20. And see what is the source of their truest delight. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Is not a believer a wonderful being, since even spiritual power and victory over the devil do not excite him? But they find their joy in a fact which is quite out of themselves and fixed by the unchangeable decree of God. The Christian is heroic, next, in his or her fearlessness. Turn to the 12th chapter, verse 4, and there find Christ saying to his disciples, "Be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell." The genuine Christian stands not in fear of public opinion and dreads not the frown of those whom God frowns upon. The true believer is to be willing to bear reproach, aye, and to bear much more than reproach, as saints of God have done time out of mind. So far from flinching from suffering, we are not even to give it a thought as to how we shall speak if we are brought before kings and rulers, for a part of the Christian's heroism is to lie in his calm self-possession. See how the Lord puts it in the 11th verse. "When they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer, or what ye shall say. For the Holy Spirit shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say." The same man who is so gentle that if men will not listen to him, he goes elsewhere, is so steadfast that he cannot be silenced. Bold as a lion, he stands before his accusers, and he is not troubled as to how he shall put his words together, for he relies upon the indwelling Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. Relying upon that Spirit, he speaks when the time comes to speak, and it is the right word, as his adversaries are compelled to confess. Or he is silent, while it is time to be silent. And even in that silence, there is an awe which is felt by those round about him. After this fashion is he to play the man. See how far the true believer is lifted up above the world, as you turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 22. Where the Lord bids us to cultivate a holy ease of heart as to all temporal things. The rich man finds his wealth in his bursting barns, but the believer finds his treasure in the all-sufficiency of his God. The Saviour says, "Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things." See, brethren, the Spirit of God is to lift us up above all fretful cares. We are to feel that the Father will provide for us in this world, and that Jesus will never leave us comfortless, because he is our shepherd. And we cannot want, we are to dwell at ease and lie down in green pastures like a peaceful, restful flock. Covetousness is not to approach us, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. The desire to heap together a vast mass of wealth prevents the enjoyment of that which is already gained. And this must not come near an heir of heaven. As to temporal things, we are to be constantly calm, content, grateful, and trustful, relying upon the bounty of our God. This freedom from anxiety constitutes a main part of the Christian character, and is so uncommon as to lift its possessor far above men of the world. Another point in which Christian heroism is seen is in humility and in delight in service. Turn to the 14th chapter and see our Lord's directions to his disciples not to seek out the highest, but rather the lowest room. "For," saith he, "whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Habitually, a Christian man or woman is to have a modest esteem of themselves. They are never to be known as people who are forward, self-seeking and self-asserting. Men and women who are highly esteemed by themselves are seldom justified by the verdict of their fellow people. No, a Christian is to be one who is ready to do anything for the good of others, however lowly the service. She will wash the saints' feet. He will be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, if he may but serve his brethren and glorify his master. Where are these Christian people, asks a hearer? Where are these good and humble people? I cannot find them. Are you not one of them yourself? If you are not, make the confession and go before God and ask him to set you right. And when you are of a lowly, loving spirit yourself, you will find others of a like mind. I must admit that they are not easy to come at, but when you are meek and lowly, you will find them, on the principle that like draws to like, and birds of a feather flock together. That is not the Christian spirit which turns even the kingdom of heaven into an arena for ambition. But that man has the mind of Christ, who becomes the servant of all for Christ's sake. That is not the Christian spirit which, under the pretense of seeking liberty in the church, craves after lordship and self-display. Those who are under this influence will have no rule in the church of God except their own rule. They are too heady and high-minded to submit themselves to those who are over them in the Lord. The spirit of Christianity is lowly, yielding, easily to be entreated, seeking not itself. This is a chief point in the peculiarity of the peculiar people. Furthermore, there should be about the Christian a faith which there is not in any other. See Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 6. He should have an eye to see that which is invisible, and an arm to lean on that which he cannot feel. He should act upon facts which others may accept as theories, but would never dream of risking a shilling upon it. Believers, ye are to be the men who can say to mountains, become plains, and to sycamore trees, be ye plucked up by the roots. You are to work miracles, not physical and material, but spiritual and mental, which are not less, but even more marvelous than the wonders of healing or resurrection. The next verse of this 17th chapter shows us that Christians are to be people of service. They are not to think that they came into the world to sit at a banquet, but they are to wait on their master while he sits at the table. Too many appear to consider that the services of the sanctuary are intended merely to feed them. They never look upon the house of God as a barracks for soldiers or a place where workmen come together to sharpen their tools. They only regard it as a sacred restaurant, a spiritual larder, or a heavenly refectory where much is to be received and little or nothing returned. Oh, brothers and sisters, we must get out of the cramping influence of the spirit which makes even religion a selfish provision for ourselves. And we must scorn that skulking away from the trouble and fatigue which creeps over men of growing years and increasing wealth. We are to serve, not to recline at our ease. What are we that are so anxious to rest ourselves and benefit ourselves? The Lord Jesus Christ would not have us always be asking, "How can I be happy? How can I obtain spiritual enjoyment?" Servants are not supposed to spend their time in doing their own pleasure and seeking their own profit. A manservant whose whole time was taken up with watching his own health would be of small value to his employer. Even so, we have something else to do beyond watching over our own inward feelings. To snatch a brand from the burning is better than to warm your own hands. To feed a hungry soul with the bread of heaven is a far higher deed than to eat the fat and drink the sweet yourself. There is more joy in plunging your arm up to the elbow in the mire to find a jewel for Christ than in washing one's own idle hands with the scented soap of respectable propriety. Oh, to get clean away from all idea of self-seeking in religion. We are first of all saved by grace, like drowning mariners snatched from the deep. But afterwards we are taught to man the lifeboat ourselves for the rescue of others from destruction. Christianity finds me a soldier wounded in battle, and it heals my wounds. But it does far more than that. It girds me with armour, it gives me a sword, it teaches me to fight, and it makes a hero of me if I yield myself to its full power. God grant it may do this for every one of us.
Thank you for listening, friends. This podcast was brought to you by Premier in association with Spurgeon's College. For more Christian podcasts, sermons, and music, head back to the website premier.plus and sign in for free.
Before we get back to today's episode, I wanted to tell you about a powerful resource we're making available this month. If you're looking to start the new year with deeper wisdom and spiritual clarity, you're going to love our brand new 30-day devotional inspired by C.S. Lewis. Each day offers rich, thought-provoking insights drawn from Lewis's timeless writings, helping you grow in faith, renew your mind, and walk more closely with God. And for a limited time, this devotional is our special thanks for your gift to support Premier Insight. Your generosity helps create and share content that equips believers to think biblically and engage our culture with truth and grace. So I encourage you to give today by visiting premierinsight.org/Spurgeon. That's premierinsight.org/Spurgeon to receive your devotional. Now, on to today's show.
When you're juggling everyday life, carrying your faith isn't always easy. Introducing Journa, Premier's new devotional journaling app, created in partnership with World Vision. Each day, Journa gives you a Bible verse, a short reflection, a question to sit with, a written prayer, and space for your thoughts, all in one place, wherever you go. Find Journa in your App Store today, available on iOS and Android. Journa, an app to help you stay connected.